Blog Talk Radio.
Well, what's happening, everybody? This is Wardell Pod streaming for Soul Eye Records Radio. Much love and God bless all you guys. I hope you are well and things are good for you. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Soul Eye Records Radio. And what a blessing it is to be here, right? Hey, guys, listen, I just want to say welcome to all of our friends from overseas. God bless all you guys and thank you so much for tuning in today. We're going to have a blessed time with my brother, Norman Beavers from Lakeside, the original Lakeside, that's what they called down. And so I'm so excited about that and so happy for them. Hey, guys, so listen, I want to just kind of get right into this thing because there's no reason to hesitate any longer. Norman, are you there, my brother?
Yes, I am, my brother Wardell. How are you?
Oh, my God, I am so blessed, man. Thank you so much for coming on today and blessing us here at Soul Eye Records Radio. Hey, it's been a long, long time, man, since I've seen you, but it's so good to hear your voice.
I know. The last time I saw you was in Palm Springs with the group out Treasure and Dreamstone. I was performing with them. Do you remember that?
Oh, no. Oh, yes, yes, yes. That's right. Wow. Man, I was living in Palm Springs at that time. Yes.
Absolutely. That was maybe about 7, 8 years ago. But before then, it's been like 20 years.
I know, man. I know. And you know what, man? I just want to say, you know, congratulations on a wonderful and lifelong time career, man. You've done so well, and I'm so happy for you and the group that you guys were able to, you know, to do this for so many years, and you guys are still out there performing and doing shows, and that longevity is amazing, and what a beautiful blessing, because nowadays the careers seem like they don't exist anymore, because people are just dropping singles here and there, and they're here and there. And before you know
I'm sure
it,
you're
somebody
right.
Else
I remember times when me and you were on the road with the Solar Galaxy of Stars back in the early 80s.
Oh, yes.
That was
beautiful. That was amazing. Get to that, because that was a total blessing, and you guys really blessed us, Dynasty, by allowing us to come and ride with y'all when our bus broke down. So thank you.
We're all family, man. It's just all a family affair.
There you go. So listen, I want to just kind of like, if we could just start from the beginning, man. I just want to know, like, you know, if you could just share with us and just take your time. Oh, by the way, that song was a song that you were a writer in as well, Fantastic Voyage. Congratulations on that as well, because I've seen, you know, you guys in all kind of commercials and stuff like that, and, you know, cell phone commercials. And so congratulations and continued success with that song. Great, 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 great song. And
We've been blessed by many things in our lives, and I appreciate it. All praise to God.
Yeah, and Coolio, man, is there anything you'd like to say about him? We lost him just a little bit ago. He redid your song and had great success with it.
Oh, yeah, he put us back on the map. God bless his soul. It was a shame to hear what happened to him, and we all always think about Coolio. We were all good friends.
Yes, yes, and it's just really, really sad. But what, you know, it was just nice to see you guys up there on the stage with them. And I really admire when the younger groups, when they redo old school stuff, that they bring the old school artists up there with them and say, hey, these are the originators. This is what I was so excited about it, I had to do it. You know, because Snoop Dogg, he redid my song. And so, I've seen, like, somebody put together videos with Snoop and the Whispers on Keep On Loving Me, and I was glad that he did my song, but just, you know, because I was waiting for the longest time. I said, all these songs are getting redone, I hope somebody redo one of my songs. And for Snoop to redo Keep On Loving Me was really a real big blessing. So I take my hats off to all those guys that, you know, that do that and show, you know, give homage to the artists that actually did the hit. So why don't you just take us back, man? Take us to the beginning. How did you get involved in music? What did you start out as a keyboard player? How did that all start for you?
Well, it's a funny story. I told it a few times. When I was a little boy, I must have been about 5 or 6 years old, I couldn't wait for Saturday to come along, because I would get on the floor in front of the TV with my elbows up against my chin. You know, Space Ghost, Roy Rogers, all those good cartoons, Bugs Bunny. And then every time I got down on the floor, my mother would come in there and start playing Fur Elise by Beethoven. And I used to hate that, man. Every time, why is she doing that? So one day, she just would do it every time. One day, I got on the piano, started picking it out, and she came in this room and saw me playing it off of ear, just me, you know, listening to her play it every week. And then she went and got me some lessons, some classical lessons. I started taking classical lessons about 6 or 7. And I was not too many piano players in Dayton, Ohio. So I started playing my little classical. And then one day my mother took me and my brother Vincent, who was the first bass player in the Young Underground, which later became Lakeside, took us to Hauser Music. And she told us, hey, you guys can get whatever you want. But we were fortunate that she could do that for us. I went and got an organ, and my brother went and got a bass guitar. And we just started playing. So a few years went by. We started getting known in Dayton. And people would start coming around asking us if we wanted to play in bands. And one thing led to another, and we got with a group called, we put together a group, Stevie Shockley put together a group called the Young Underground. And that was me, my brother Vincent, and a bass player and a drummer. And, Vincent was a bass player. We had a drummer, and there was 4 of us. And we went and got 4 singers because we wanted to be a show band, and we were called Nomads and Young Underground. So after that, a few years went by, we got a deal. We got a record deal with Curtum Records. And so we went to Chicago, Curtis Mayfield Record Company with Eddie Thomas, and we started recording. And one day Eddie Thomas came in. He said, hey, there's a group already called the Nomads. We have to change the name. So then we were at the studio. We looked out the window, and we saw this light blinking called Lakeside Express. And it was a paper company in Chicago. So we said, we'll just use that name, Lakeside Express. So we were using that for a while. And then we had the opportunity to go to California. And when we got with a club in California, they wanted to put Ohio on the front of it to know that, let people know that we weren't from California. So for a while we were going as Ohio Lakeside Express. Then things, one thing led to another, and each one of the things that leading to another are complete stories in themselves. I'm telling you, I'm just running through as quick as I can. And we got with ABC Records, and we called Lakeside then. We changed it to Ohio and then Express. We just called ourselves Lakeside. And one thing led to another, and we went to Motown. Motown didn't do anything with us. And finally, we hooked up with Dick Griffey and became Solar Records. And it was us, the Whispers, Shalimar, Dynasty, who was the you guys, who were the stage, the studio artists, which much love for you guys making all these hits. I think Lakeside was the only band that had their own music. Everybody else was you guys, was the Dynasty cast. So you guys are pretty well known and all over the world. You know, I have much love for Dynasty. So that's pretty much how it came with me.
Okay. And so when you guys got together, and came to L.A., how did you guys hook up with Dick Griffey?
When we came to L.A., we came to a little club on Martin Luther King, but back then it was called Santa Barbara. And the club was right off of St. Andrews and Santa Barbara, which is now Martin Luther King, called the, what's the name of that place? Shoot, the California Club. And so we were there for about a week, and we would open up for Leroy Skillet and LaWanda, which was a comedy group. And LaWanda later on to be the girl on Stanford and Son. What was her name? Remember the Aunt Esther. That's who LaWanda was.
Yeah.
And then Leroy and Skillet. And so we would open up for them. And we were so young. We thought that the club owner was nice to let us sleep in the club, you know, because we were just young kids. And so in the daytime, me and my brother Vincent, we were walking around L.A. So we found Crenshaw Boulevard, and we saw our cousin. Our cousin was on a billboard at Maverick's Flat, and they were called the Love Machine. They had a musical group, so me and my brother went upstairs to talk to John Daniels, who was managing the club then, and he had the Love Machine. So we wanted to play in this club because it was so much better than coming from here.
A lot of young people were there.
So he packed up all the girls in the Love Machine and came down to California to hear and saw our show. And he booked us. He booked us that Thursday for his club. And from there, it just went wild. So many people have come from Maverick Sweat. So many people.
You know
Wardell. And so,
I know,
John.
I got there late.
I'm sorry?
I said I got
Hello?
There late. I didn't. Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I said I didn't get
well,
there until 1979. But I know all the stories. I know all the stories.
Well, Dick Griffey was working with Don Cornelius. He was like the music side of Soul Train, because they had a record company called Soul Train Records, and Dick Griffey was in charge
right.
of Soul Train Records, and Don Cornelius was in charge of Soul Train show, and so they were hooked up together, and so Dick brought us under Soul Train. We were going to record with Soul Train, but one thing led to another, and Dick and Don kind of went their separate ways. So Don kept Soul Train, and Dick went with Solar, Sound of Los Angeles Records. And he got a deal with Shalimar, Lakeside, and The Whispers, and with RCA Records, who distributed. And we started cutting. We got Leon Silvers to do the producing. And one thing led to another, and here we are today. All of us are still jamming. The Whispers, Shalimar, and Lakeside are still jamming to this day. And that must have been, what 40, almost 50 years ago. So all profits to Dick Griffey. It's amazing.
That's so wild, man. It's so wild. And, you know, and I know that you guys perform periodically. I Climax is out there, too. And I see periodically, you know, you all y'all end up together sometimes on the same show. And I go, whoa. That's a taste of Solar.
So nice, man.
So, before I get too far off into the Solar tour, your first group, let me see here. I just got a message about your first group, The Realist.
The Realist.
What was the difference in the sound between them and the sound with Lakeside?
Well, The Realistics was, we did rock and roll and we did all kinds of music. Lakeside was basically an R&B funk group where The Excursions was a kind of multiracial group. It was two sets of brothers, the Renfro brothers and the Beavers. Brothers, and we had a lead singer called Harvey Lee, and then we had Tim Dozier on the drums, who later played with Dayton. I think he played with Slade, so it was kind of like a Dayton thing, you know. And a lot of groups from Dayton, Ohio were into so many different kinds of music. Like there was another group called Platypus, and then there was so many groups from Dayton. Ohio Players was more into jazz. So we had different genres coming out of Dayton, Ohio.
Yes. I mean, it's so much talent that came out of Ohio. It is just, I mean, that state should get an award for itself for producing so much amazing talent. It's just unbelievable when you think about all the acts that that place, and I just go, whoa, I believe it. And Midnight Star, I think they just got an award on Cincinnati Walk or Fame or something like that. You know what I'm talking about?
That's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so much stuff. So we were on the road together, and that was just wild, right? That Solar Galaxy of Stars tour. What was it about it, the tour, that really blessed you?
Can you repeat that again? I lost. Can you say that again?
I said, what was it about the Solar Galaxy of Stars tour that really blessed you?
Well, what I liked about the Solar Galaxy of Stars was it was all of the groups together.
And we were playing such great venues. We played so many. We played the Forum in Los Angeles. I think we played Madison Square Garden in New York. We were like on the, remember the Budweiser Superfest? They had us on so many good things. And so, back in the day, we were like the number one R&B acts running around the country. And it was just so much fun, man, being with family, the Solar family of stars. It was great.
It was great. And you had mentioned earlier that we were placed together. We did a show together. You played with us in Washington, right? Wasn't that Washington?
Right,
you played
right.
With
yeah, I remember William invited me to come play with you guys. It was so much fun. But it was just like being, you know, at the studio, because I remember the days at the studio over there on Cahuenga, where all the fellas, everybody would just hang out, you know, all the different bands. Somebody would be on somebody else's album, somebody would be on somebody else's, because everybody was recording and making hit records. It was just a wonderful time in my life.
Oh, yeah. It was so wonderful, because not only were we doing what we loved to do and what we wanted to do, but they were hits. We were on the charts. Mm-hmm. We were everywhere. Mm-hmm. It was all around. It was like, whoa, is this really real? This is crazy real, and it's crazy good. And I was, but you, there was something about you. I think you had a reputation of getting songs on the B side of hits.
Oh, yeah, I had a lot of B-sides. I had a lot of B-sides. I had about 7 or 8 B-side records. They were calling me B-side Beavers for a while, which was ungrateful. I'm grateful for the opportunity. Really, God is good. And all praise to God, because without his strength and wisdom, you know, we wouldn't have made it. He was protecting the bands, all of us.
Okay, so that the name of your song on the other side, the B side of "And the Beat Goes On," is what?
Can You Do the Boogie? That was written by me and Carrie Lucas, Dick Griffey's wife at the time. Dick Griffey he would always give people opportunities to grow. One day we had the studio on Adams and La Brea. We used to call it Doo Doo Records. It may stink, but it's our stuff. That was our motto.
It's a funky stink. Yeah, I get it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What'd you say now?
So you were telling us a story about Dick Griffey, how he blessed you guys that you were at the studio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So I'm sorry. I was interrupted. So he came up there and he asked if I would, we're talking about Can You Do the Boogie, right?
Right.
Hello? Yeah. Well, yes. He came up to the studio one day. I used to live at the studio because we were all broke. We didn't have any money. We weren't famous enough. We were on our mission to become, you know, musical people. And so I would just sleep up there at the studio until I found a place. And he came up there one day. He said, "Norman, I want you to write me a track, and I'm going to get my wife to put the lyrics on it, and we're going to put it on the back of our next single." I said, "Sure, Dick." And I went on and wrote the track, and he gave it to his girl, his wife. And they went and recorded it right there at Solar Records on Cahuenga. And the Whispers had it, and they put it on the B-side. Back then, they used to have the 45. I know a lot of people know about that, but a lot of these young people, they don't know about 45 records. And it was on wax, and you would release the single, and you'd have an A side and a B side. And I was fortunate enough to get on the B side, and the first royalty check I got from that was like $35,000. And that was way back in the 70s. You know, I'd never seen that much money back then, you know. I went and took that money and bought a house with it and built a studio in the back of my house and just started writing records. So many people came through there. I've had Dick would come by there, Howard Hewitt, some of the guys from The Whispers would come through. So many people come to my little, it was a demo studio, and so many good memories, so many people. So that's how Can You Do the Boogie got started.
And so you Ohio guys really capitalized off of that, because on the A side, it was William Shelby and Stephen Shockley that wrote "And the Beat Goes On." So y'all was celebrating.
Family. What I liked about he made it good for so many people.
Yes. And that was, you know, that was really the second song that I recorded for Solar. But that was my introduction. Yeah, that was the second song I recorded. The first song was Second Time Around, and then a week later we went in and the Beat Goes On. And so, so that was the beginning of, you know, thing for me. The fact that you were right there in the beginning of, you know, my career is absolutely an honor, and it's just beautiful. You've always been there, Norm. Always been there.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm telling you.
Yes, sir. So listen, let me, you know, just real quickly, I know you're out on the road and I'm going to try to keep this moving as quickly as possible. I play a song that you wrote for Dynasty. But let me just, before I go, I want to ask you, since, you know, Ohio had its own, like, explosion of artists that was coming out of there. Minneapolis was kind of doing the same thing after you guys. What can you describe what you think the difference in the sound was between the two groups? Not the two
the
groups,
Ohio Players and Lakeside?
No. The Ohio sound versus the Minneapolis sound.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, as we have a lot of meccas in America for music, country, you know, different genres. And when you talk about funk and R&B, I think it depends on what the radio stations were playing back at that time. And because different radio stations played different cities had different kind of radio stations. Now, Minneapolis, I think it was more rock and pop. And when you mix that R&B in there, you got that purple sound, which was kind of really enforced by Prince and Time and all of those people coming out of, and then the new one, Lizzo, she's from Minneapolis. So that's the new sound.
Oh, wow.
So in Ohio, I think it was more of a jazz R&B gospel thing, because I know the Ohio Players were deep into, they were jazz artists, but they kind of turned over into funk. And yeah, so the way that went, and then you had the Philly sound, okay, in Philadelphia with Tom Bell.
Yeah.
That was so many. And then you had the Memphis sound, which was more R&B and gospel, and it's just everybody had their little thing. Now California was more of a pop R&B thing with the Fifth Dimension, and then you had Denver with the Earth, Wind, and Fire. It's, everybody had their little clique and their sound. I think Los Angeles was a little cleaner, and Dayton was a little funkier, and in the Midwest with Minneapolis was kind of in between that with a little rock involved. That's my interpretation.
Right. And we all came together, you know, not all of us, but Ohio, Philadelphia, being me and then some of the guys from Minneapolis came to Los Angeles and created the sound of Los Angeles Records. I mean, that's a combination of all those sounds in that created the sound in Los Angeles. And so I was listening to you say all that, I was like, whoa, you're talking about all of the ingredients that came together that made the sound of Los Angeles Records. And that's absolutely amazing. That's an amazing story. Whoa.
It was.
What's that?
I'm sorry. What was the question again? I'm sorry.
Oh, I didn't ask you a question. I thought you said something. Oh. But listen, I want to play. I know you're out on the road, and he's moving around, guys, as he's trying to bless us with this interview, and we're grateful for that, man. Thank you for taking the time out to share your story with us. But I want to. This is an amazing part right here because he also wrote for Dynasty, and so what I want to do is take a moment and play a song that he wrote. You want to tell us anything about this song, Everlasting, that you wrote for Dynasty?
Oh, yeah. Well, William Shelby was one of the artists with Dynasty, who was also one of the studio writers and performers with Solar Records with you. And right. William was like my best friend, man. I mean, when he came to L.A., he got a job as a stock boy at Solar down in the mailroom, and we lived together. He came and stayed with me for about a year, and we'd eat our potatoes and eggs, and that we'd be happy. And we used to write songs together. So the years went by, time it went on, and I built my little studio in the back of my house, and we would always come over and work on songs. And so I called him to put some lyrics and some melodies to this groove I had, and we called it Everlasting. And he presented it to Leon, and Leon kind of liked it. And they put it on one of your albums. I'm not sure which one it is, but I was fortunate to get many songs with collaborating with many people in the Solar Galaxy family. I was just fortunate. That's all I can say.
Oh, man, that's great. All right, so listen, we're going to take a minute and listen to this song. Written by Norman Beavers, William Shelby, and I think it's called Everlasting Dynasty. We'll be right back. Nice to hear William Shelby's voice, man.
Oh, it is.
And, yeah, it's so So just like he was your best friend, he was my best friend. Everybody claimed him, right?
Yeah,
he was a good guy. And so I just want to say, I know that you got to go. And so thank you again for tuning in, man. And I know you just told me it's getting crazy over there. So we're going to let you go. Thank you for blessing us, man, with your time. And much love to your family out there. Enjoy being on the road, and we'll catch you next time. Anything else in closing that you would like to say?
I appreciate the invitation to come on the radio show, and I just want you to keep on pushing it, because it's such a good feeling to have you on us on the station. Great.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that, man. God bless you, and go do your thing, man. Take care, and we'll see you next time on Soul Light Records Radio.
I'll see you when we're back in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Oh,
sounds
that's like
good.
You're in Texas. That's right. Well, we're going to be in Houston,
I'm
so I'll see you in Houston.
Okay. Yes, sir. I'm not too far from your brother, Fred.
Great.
He's right up. He's up straight right above me in death. So, okay,
take
man.
Take care.
All right. God bless.
God bless.
Oh, my God. My, my, my. Girls will be girls. And did we have a great time talking to my brother, Norman Beavers. Thank you, Norman, for tuning in to Solar Records Radio today and blessing us, bro. We really appreciate that here very, very much. As he's on the road, I mean, he's on his way to the airport and just trying to chime in and share his story with us is highly appreciated for us here at Solar Records Radio. Safe travels and may God be with you and be safe. Hey, guys, I just wanted to just say thank you for your patience as we're having some difficulties here with the audio, but hopefully it gets better. Whoa, crazy. All right, so let me see what Greg says, because y'all know, he says it's perfect. That's my brother from another mother. Anyway, much love, Greg. Thank you. Appreciate you, man. Hey, I see Astrid in the house. What's up, Astrid? How you doing, pretty girl? Hope you are good. She's working out of time now. She's the athlete on the block now. Do your thing, girl. Thank you so much. So listen, I'm going to play some more songs here for you guys. We got about another hour and 10 minutes left in the show. And so I want to play some stuff for you. The next song I want to play is from an artist, actually. But he was with us. He was with Shalimar, as a matter of fact. But he went to another company and did his own solo thing. I believe it was a company that I was affiliated with, A&M Records. And when I finished with Solar, I went over to A&M. That was the next phase for me, going from being a writer with, a musician first with Mr. Griffey, and then and a writer with Griffey, and then a writer with Leon Silvers and Silver Spoon Productions, and then going over to A&M with Brenda Andrews and Lance Freed. And that was a total different environment altogether, because this was not about, you know, the musicianship as much as it was about, we need songs. And so getting with them, I ended up, you know, writing stuff for Regina Bell, Atlantic Star. I did half their album, and then who else? Oh man, it was quite a few other artists. The Jets, which was fun. That the Jets was really interesting, because actually we were supposed to have like way more songs than we ended up with, but it was so much movement going on at the time. And but I just have to say that, you know, there were some really good people over at MCA that really blessed us. And so yeah, I just want to say thank you to them for giving us the opportunity to do what we did over there with them. And so, but anyway, so this next artist that I was talking about, his name is Chuck Gentry. So kick back, relax, and enjoy Mr. Gentry. Until I record today. Thank you.
Cats, the Fed Cats. No, I'm not having.
Yes. Let's keep it going with artists from Solar that went someplace else.
Hey, David. Come here.
love it how the sound of Solar had fingers, and it was just, it would just go in different places. Other labels were blessed by the sound of Solar. Don Fleming
all
in
right.
the house.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a
I
jam
knew,
right there.
I knew he'd like that right there. That's Don's style right there. Man, oh, man. I'm playing. So I started off with, who did I start off with? Oh, Chuck Gentry, right? So I'm playing artists that was a part of Solar that went to different mm-hmm. labels. Went to different labels and released music. So, and I was just basically saying how it feels like Solar had fingers and it just went and it kept on growing and kept going in different directions with different artists because mm-hmm. those artists and those record companies wanted the Solar sound because it was
yeah.
a thing, right? And so here we go. I mean, that's so you came in, I started out the block with, Chuck Gentry, and then I went to Jody Watley. I'm looking for a new love, and then you heard the last song that I played in this block. Can you treat me like she does, man? Good. You know, just let me ask you this question.
Go ahead.
How? I mean, to ask, if a girl asked you, can you treat me like he does? what would your thoughts be? Can you treat me like he does?
Well, you might want to go back to him.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, it's like if we're doing like comparables,
right,
you know,
right.
And obviously I'm not up to the standard that you're looking for, then, you know, as far as compatibility, maybe I'm not the one.
I'm just thinking that we don't want to start our relationship off with that. It's like you're comparing me to someone else. You know, I may love
it's kind
you
of
way
corny.
Better.
I mean, it's kind of corny when you really look at it. You know, beautiful song, beautiful groove. I'm jamming to it, but it's just one of those things. You listen to the words, you be like, "What in the devil?" You know, but again, no, I'm not trying to get too deep into the relationship part or whatever, but yeah, if you're in a relationship and she's comparing you to other people and whatnot and all of that, obviously you don't meet the requirements or the standards that she looked for in the beginning. So it's one of those things like, then why did you choose me from the get-go? Was I just handsome?
I just want to know. I mean, it sounds good when they're singing it, right? It's like, can you?
Right.
It feels good. Maybe I should say that. It feels really good. But then when you think about it and you put the in it. if I only treat you like he did and you're not with them anymore, what does that say about you?
Obviously, unless he was already a married, if he was already taken, you know.
Right.
She's the side piece.
Boy,
you know.
we are tearing this poor stuff.
That goes to a whole other topic and a whole other dimension of conversation. So let's just stick with celebrating the legacy of Solar, of course, what we do every Friday from 3 to 5, man. I love, I'm glad you put me on the spot like that. I was ready, man. I was locked and loaded on that one. Appreciate it.
Very good. All right. Well, Greg says I'm breaking up, so. He says I'm breaking up bad. Okay. So let me see if I do this here. I hope maybe that made it better. I don't know. All I know is that it's raining like cats and dogs out here. What about up there?
Oh, it's fine. The weather's good. A little overcast, but no rain, knock on wood, yet. And it's about 75 degrees here.
Are you in the system?
I'm not in the system. As a matter of fact, man, I was hoping you'd play something from the Gladys Knight and the Pip Visions album, the one that you played drums on a couple of those songs, man. And it's, again, it's all about the lineage. It's all about the six degrees of separation and Solar, 6 degrees of Solar, you know, all of these these branches of influence that you guys have basically embarked upon as far as the people who use you guys as inspiration, like the Jimmy Jam and the Terry Lewis, like the L.A. and Babyface. Even, when we talked to Denise Williams, you know, a lot of, you know, the Nathan East and the Greg Filling Games found some inspiration through Solar and Dick Griffey and what Dick Griffey did for this label. So there's always that lineage, you know. So when we celebrate the legacy, it's not just, you know, a Solar song, a song from a Solar artist. It's all inspired also. So it's all connected, in, you know, some degree or another. So if it be okay with you, man, you got to play one of my favorites from that album, the one you played drums on. If you can find it, it's in my stash. You're number one in my book off the Visions album from Gladys Knight. And tell the people, remind the people as far as just your stint in playing drums on that album and what was the whole vibe like? Because I know you didn't necessarily meet her, but go ahead, tell the story a little bit, man, if you can.
When we come back, because of my microphone, so let me get my mic fixed and I'll shift.
Okay, got you.
Greg said it's breaking up, so play your request, and then when we come back, I should have it fixed. All right, Don. All right, here we go.
Yeah, I got you.
Number one in my world.
Oh, man. I love that song. Of course, that is from the Visions album, Gladys Knight and the Pips from 1983. You're number one in my book, man. And of course, Wardell, do we have you back? Do we have you clear as day since, you know, Greg had mentioned that he couldn't hear you?
I think so. I reset it, so hopefully everything is cool. Can you hear me good?
I can hear you very well, sir.
Awesome, awesome. So we'll see what Maestro has to say. So, yeah, that just to you know, we – it was one of those things that Leon Silvers had got the call, and he got the call to work with Gladys. And so he started pulling all his troops in, you know, and so we all came together and we started writing and producing. You know, I mean, we're writing mainly because Leon was producing it. And so we were writing and getting all the stuff together and recording. And but we never got the chance to meet Gladys because Leon
see
went
her,
to
yeah.
Where, yeah, he went to where she was. So and that was in Vegas, and they recorded up there. And so it's just, you know, to actually have your name, your credit on the same album, you know, of her album, you know, it just feels good. It's a beautiful honor to actually be on an album with someone I looked up to all my life as, you know, a young man.
Yeah.
Growing up, she was out there doing it then, right? Oh, Greg said we're good. Okay, awesome, Greg, thanks. And so and now, you know, we are taking the time to go back and look at the accomplishments of, you know, the guys, the musicians, the artists from Solar, and all the things that we did. And I like to make sure that I lift them all up because, like, even with Chuck Gentry, you know, he played with Shalimar, but he, you know, he went off and did his own thing with so many other acts and stuff. But he was with us. You know, he's our brother, right? And him and Richard Randolph were extremely close, really, really close. Friends, guitar players, and you know, they had that thing, right? And so, but you know, and I like to lift everybody up, even Jermaine Stewart, who was the background singer for Shalimar and went on to had good success over in the UK, putting out "We Don't Have to Take Our Clothes Off," and
Jody,
you know, and Jody,
and the song Jody, yeah, the song Jody,
yes. Oh, there you go. And so it's just so, you know, so many great stories. And so I like to just constantly lift all of our brothers up and stuff. And and the ones that didn't do anything else, I still like to lift them. But, we didn't forget you. We didn't forget them. And I want to make sure that I give a shout out to people like Randy Melicon, who was a great keyboardist, and Don Newton, a great drummer. Played with Shalimar, and both of them with Shalimar, and I had a wonderful time on the road with these guys, and there's so many more. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to make a list, and I'm going to start reading next Friday. I'm going to read the list of all the people that participated that were a blessing, because I wanted to be on record, you know. And so I'm going to do that next week. I think that's something that would be is appropriate.
Okay.
So this is Good Friday, and I just have to say thank you to my Savior for blessing us and hooking me up with such wonderful people in my life. And but this day, it's a day where they really assassinated, you know, our God, you know, my Savior. And so this is a funeral, the day, and I'm going to go to church and I'm going to celebrate the life of Christ. But you know, I'm going to, you know, go back through the moment, and I have different things that people are going to be reading that I gave to my church. And so there's like 10 different readers, and they're going to read up to from the moment that he was tortured up to where they walk him up to the cross, and they're going to read all the way up to that part and what happened. And there's going to be 10 different people reading it, and it's going to be a moment, man. It's an amazing moment. So, I you know, you guys know that we are a Christian-based station, and Good Friday is something that we can't look over. It is an amazing opportunity to just say thank you and show your appreciation for the one who died for all of us and carried our sins with him. So I'm sorry, I just kind of jumped to that because I just got a message about it. So, and so I said, oh, okay, I guess I'm supposed to talk about Jesus. Anyways, Good Friday. Every Friday here on Soul Light Records, we're here to celebrate the sound of Los Angeles Records. Another thing I want to talk about, since my mic is working fine, right, Greg, is that last night, the interview that you had last night, man, why don't you talk a little bit about
your interview? Oh, wow. Got a chance to talk to the legendary Jay King from Club Nouveau, and of course he has his own radio show, and it was just a great time to talk. He had both of you guys had a lot of just lengthy knowledge of the industry. We talked about things, we talked about Club Nouveau and things like that, and his upbringing and music influences and things like that. But a lot of the conversation was just knowledge of the industry and creating generational wealth and things like that. So we've got to have them back. I was just floored. And he has, again, you can go to jking.me or clubnouveau.me to get some check out the schedule of his tour, upcoming tour dates and things like that. So make sure you check that out and support that, brother. I love the information. I love that, brother.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that was a very nice interview. I mean, he's full of information. Whoa. That brother has a lot of wisdom there. And so at a very young age, he was very wise. And that really blessed his life. And so... But very nice interview done. You did a great job, and I enjoyed hanging out with you, and enjoyed talking to my brother. All right, guys. So tomorrow, Wants to Dance, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tune in with us, and then on Sunday it's Easter Sunday, so we have to figure out the schedule for that. So I will be talking to Greg after the show, probably. But anyway, guys, so listen, we want to get back to some more music here. So we mentioned one of these artists. We mentioned Jermaine Stewart in our conversation. So I'm going to play something of his. And I got to get that song. I don't get it in yours. You said it was a song that he did called Jody?
Yeah.
Is it in your stash?
It should be. Check it out. It should be in there somewhere.
Yeah. And so, the thing is that Jody, he probably wrote it about Jody Bartlett because they were very, very close.
Jermaine Stewart. I think we don't have to take our clothes off. It's in your.
Stash. Yes, it is. Jermaine Stewart is in my stash, but I was looking in yours, but yeah. Yeah, you don't have.
Oh, no.
Okay. All right.
Unfortunately, I don't. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Well, you mentioned the song, so I figured. All right, so listen, here we go on Soul Light Records Radio. Don Fleming, Ward Price Jr., hanging out. We got about another 31 minutes left in the show. We appreciate you and love you, and thank you so much for hanging out with us on Good Friday here on Soul Light Records Radio. We'll be right back.
All right.
Thank you.
Man, oh, man, I'm so glad that Greg brought that song up to my attention because I completely forgot about it. And it's such a fun and wonderful song. And I was thinking, I need to call Linda and tell her. What a great job she did, her and Nydra. The girls featured on that, Linda and Nydra. Linda had the first verse and the first chorus and the second verse and the second chorus. And wow, what a great groove, great, you know, performance with the ladies doing their thing. Oh, that those girls, we had so much fun on the road. And Linda cut my hair. And I didn't know she wasn't a barber. It was just, we were so close. We were having so much fun. We were always together. And one day I was like, I got to get a haircut. And she said, I'll cut it. I said, really? You come here? She said, yeah. And from that day on, for the rest of the time that I was on the road, she completely changed my outfit because I had to start wearing a hat. So when I saw my hair, I was like, oh, my God, what were you thinking? Skip Scott. It was like a bumpy road. I was like, what's going on here? It was a mess. I still loved her, but, man, so emergency because we were in a hotel when she cut my hair, right? And so we had a show to do. That's why we were in a hotel. And so I had to, what am I going to do? So I went to the store across the street. Thank God there was a mall across the street. I went and bought a hat, and then I bought wristbands to match my white hat. So I had rich wristbands on my white hat and the white wristbands. And then I bought new white tennis shoes. And then I had my tights. So these tights were gymnastic tights. So for me, playing drums is an athletic thing for me. I mean, I'm working out. I'm not. It's a lot of work sitting, swinging everything. Every part of your body is going, you know, for hours straight. It's like woo. You talk about cardio, and so. But the tights was a little too, it was not kind of working out. So I ended up having shorts, and I got white shorts, white hat, white wristband, and I had white suspenders. Whoa. And so I'm wearing my white suspenders. I'm on stage, and it was on. And so that was my new outfit, thanks to Linda Carrier. Lord, she could not cut hair. But she told me, so don't just, you know, don't get it. Don't just let anybody do your hair because they didn't. Especially, you've never seen them do this before, right? And so, a little embarrassing, but at the same time, I have nothing but love for her as my girl. That's my girl. And so, until my hair grew back, that was my outfit. And then once it grew back, I still wore the same outfit. And sometimes, you know, my hair, you know, we had afros back then, so it just let it, it was growing and growing until it outgrew the hat. And so Dynasty continued to do what we did. We had so much fun just having a great time on the road, hitting hard, man. And so, but anyway, guys, thank you again for tuning in today. It is team. We have 13 minutes left. And so don't forget tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tune in, hang out with us. We love you and appreciate you. You guys all take care and be blessed because you were made by the best. Thank you so much. Take care and enjoy the rest of your Good Friday. Good night. So cool.
Moving on the line, it's got me dancing high. The way you move that road, she's got to move. you're not concerned, and you're sure to get